38 weeks ago, the Premier League campaign began. And no, this is not a poem. This is just prefacing today's episode. Guys, on today's episode, we're going to talk about the team of the season. And as a special treat, we're also going to do a live final day watch along, which means whoever gets relegated from the Premier League today, you will find out right here along with us in real time. We hope you enjoy. It sounded like I was setting up a poem there, wasn't it?
It absolutely did.
As soon as I said it, I was like, no, hold on. This sounds like a poem.
When you continue, then you said it's, this is not a poem. It's just a setup for today. I thought that was a meta joke within a poem.
Right. Dude, it felt like it. That was just off the cuff, man. Because you're ready to anyway, go. Guys, welcome to episode number 196 of the Jersey Wall podcast. 196, guys. Did you know that 6 years ago today, we recorded episode number 10? Wow. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Wild.
Was it audio only?
Facebook
still?
Memories for that.
No, video, dude. It was video.
No, episode 10 was like audio.
We didn't have
only
video
in the basement.
Mid-20s. Yeah. Mid-20s. Anyway, I got Mina with me. Mina, welcome back.
Mid-20s.
Now, hold on.
Before we get
into today's episode, wait, this is important. Joe's also with me, but wait, I've been working on this for a long time. We have good news and bad news.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bad news for Mina, and it is regarding Mina. So, you know, Mina, I hope you don't mind me spoiling this for everybody. The bad news is Mina no longer has a girlfriend. The good news is he now has a fiance.
Yay! Yay!
Level up, boys.
This is what we're talking about, amazing. Bro.
I told her on the drive home, I was like, hey, you're my ex-girlfriend now. And she's like, don't say it like that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, shout out, Dalia. Yeah. Thanks for saying yes.
Shout out, Dalia.
8 years later.
I don't know if she knows what she got herself into. If she listened to Jersey Wall, it might be a different answer here. These Jersey Wall hosts, bro, might not be the guys for you. But if it is, if you're tuning in each and every week, we love you and we thank you as always. Guys, today, the Premier League team of the season, and I think it's pretty safe to do it at this point. Now, the tallies might vary. You know, I have, like, if this player has this amount of goal involvements and today they happen to get into a few more, it might be marginally outdated. But this was the episode for it. It's the culmination of the Premier League season where almost everything has been decided already. Champions, top four, European places, mid-table. The only thing that hasn't been is the relegation battle, which is why we're going to incorporate a live watch-along to the bottom of the table. As it currently stands, Leicester are beating West Ham and Everton are drawing at Bournemouth, which means Leicester stay up, Leeds are relegated, and Everton will be going down for the first time in their history. Let's start there, guys. Crazy, eh?
Yeah, I'm excited. Yo, this is the most fun I'm having in a podcast since we're doing live reactions right now.
It was so much fun.
It's actually so much fun. Yeah.
This is a format that I was telling Nathan, I wanted to try this for a long time, but the games that I've wanted it to happen in were games where it's like you guys were in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
I was in a Europa League final. It's not the time for that kind of stuff.
Too much at stake.
Yeah.
But the relegation battle is fun, though.
Now
the
we're
stakes
all
for you today, Mina, is what?
Oh, I'm watching United because you can consider me steakless, like I'm a vegan. No steaks over here.
Anyway,
I was telling Nathan, I think Joe would back me up here. I think if, like, it doesn't matter who's playing. If my team's playing, I'm watching that team. I don't care what else is going on.
Correct. But if you've had a season like me, I think you're going to watch any other team but Chelsea. But I do have both games on, so I'm guilty.
I'm flipping between them. So
Yeah. That's the only issue.
So today we're going to go through our Premier League team of the season. We're going to tell you the formation. We're going to tell you all the personnel and why we think they should be in there and the manager of the season as well. So this is a lot to get through along with the interruptions from the relegation battle. But let's try to be as civil and composed and silly as we are. And we hope you guys enjoyed this format. Maybe it'll be a one-off if it sucks. But otherwise, so far, I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
Shall we begin with our keeper? Because regardless of formation, I'll ask you guys what formation you have and everything else. And we'll start with keeper.
No
my
keeper.
My formation is actually going... Yeah, no keeper. Just 11 forwards, bro. Crazy. Crazy season for the forwards.
Spurs just scored again.
Did they? Okay, so Leeds are going
Leeds are
down.
2-0 down.
For sure.
Goodbye, Leeds.
Goodbye,
never
Leeds.
Come back.
I wonder if Leeds players are going to come up in our discussions today for team of the season. I don't think so. Maybe they'll be in contention for managers of the season with how many they've burnt through. But here we are. My formation for today, Americans of the season. My formation, guys, is controversial. I'm going to tell you already. which my honorable mentions is going to have a lot of wingers because my formation is actually a 4-3-1-2 or a 4-4-2 diamond. I do not have wingers in my team of the season. Can you
believe it? You're mad.
You're crazy. I understand. Crazy.
You guys know I love.
You know, I saw you on Thursday and you were like, yeah, we're playing a 4-3-3, right?
Thought so until I started making it. Yeah. Dude, that was my thought at the time. Then I'm like, wait a second. I don't know if that's true. So the top end of the team will write itself. I think most of the debates will happen towards the back end of the team. And we have to start with goalies, guys. I want you to take me through your formation and who your keeper is. And I'll go last. Mina, formation, I guess it's 4-3-3. And who's your keeper?
I went with Nick Pope. And here's the thing. You might ask, Mina, you're an United fan. Your keeper won Golden Glove this season, you know, with 17 clean sheets. That's respectable. Yeah, but the conundrum is he's also had the most errors leading to goals. So I don't know how to split this because on one hand, a clean sheet is a good thing. And that's how you like literally, if you keep a clean sheet, you're not losing the game. So that's right. Good. So, and he's come up with big saves in those clean sheets. But when the front line in front of him has changed, you can see what's going on. So it's not David De Gea. It's not Aaron Ramsdale. I went with Nick Pope because remember how little goals Newcastle has conceded this year. And I think he played a really, really big part in that. Just shutting teams up, becoming basically the Diego Simeone team of the Premier League for long periods of this season. And I just went with Nick Pope. Special shout out goes to David Raya. Also a keeper I considered. Not the one I went with though.
We have the same top three, but I have a different starting keeper than you. Joe, who's your keeper of the season?
mine's actually David De Gea.
Come on, Joe.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Why? He got the most clean sheets. It's not my problem.
Clean sheet merchant.
Clean sheet merchant. Yeah, that's exactly it. So
if you put David De Gea, you better put Lisandro Martinez because that's who got him his clean sheet. I'm telling
you.
Yeah,
exactly. But like you said, okay, like he conceded a lot and errors and blah, blah, blah. But he's also was playing with Lindelof and Maguire for a lot of the time this year, too, because of Varane. And
just towards the end of it.
It was just towards the end. Yeah, but towards the end. Oh, Everton nearly scored. Oh, shit. Sorry. So sorry.
Yeah, this is going to happen throughout this episode, guys.
Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, but no, I'm going with David De Gea. Listen, I got to say.
I just saw
it. Did you see that? Yeah.
I'm on delay. David, you're on delay.
Yeah, bro. That was so good. Yeah, I actually rate David De Gea. I know a lot of people don't, and he's not the best at distributing the ball or whatever. But he does make some decent saves. Penalties, minus penalties, of course, because he sucks at pens. But I'm gonna.
What happened today, though, Mina?
What he saved the pen today.
He saved the pen today.
We were talking about this before we started. It's his first penalty save at Old Trafford since 2014. Leighton Baines.
So I'm. Oh.
Who remembered that stat, Mina? Who fed us with that stat? It was me, bro. That's some highlight. Yeah. I don't know why I fucking remember that, but I remembered that.
His last
works today, then. Good call, Joe. Nice one. Yeah.
There you go. My keeper, I think you're both wrong. And I love you both to death, but both are crazy. The keeper of the year is Aaron Ramsdale. And I don't want to give any flowers to Arsenal.
Well, shut the hell up, bro.
Let's go through it. I understand this is not the audience for that, but the audience who's listening to this might actually appreciate this. So here we go. Okay. The keeper who conceded the fewest goals in the Premier League this season was Ederson. The keeper who faced the fewest amount of chances this season was Ederson. So Ederson's a write-off. Sorry, Eddie. Love you. Four goals. It's just the nature of the game. It's just the nature of the game. Can't give it to the keeper. Now, Nick Pope conceded the second fewest amount of goals this season as a starter in the Prem. But he also had very limited positions to save because of how defensive Newcastle were. So I can't quite say he was as much of a hero for the team in the same way. Ramsdale conceded like 43 goals, but Ramsdale was fantastic in a lot of moments. And I think that Arsenal,
you know, who else conceded 43 goals?
Who?
David De Gea.
De Gea had the most clean sheets. He had the most errors leading to goal. I think that Ramsdale was a tremendous asset in their push for almost winning the Premier League. And we can't forget how close they came, even though at this point it seems like they didn't come that close.
No, they were very close.
So throughout the league, they were very, very close throughout all the weeks and months that just happened. They were very close. His distribution was about as good as it gets. His reflexes were fantastic. And to be honest, he commanded his penalty area. And I totally respect that, right? Because he did face chances at times. And he still got it.
3-2 down.
Liverpool to who, Mina? To which place team?
Bottom of the table, Southampton.
20th place, Southampton.
No. Anyway.
That's the farewell for them. That's the farewell.
I can't disrespect your Ramsdale shout because I think he's been good throughout most of the season. But I think if you're gonna Golasso, we scored 2-1. I think if you're just gonna say that, he did concede 43 goals, but he did put in good performances. I think the same can go to Davide.
Genuinely. No, he didn't make as many mistakes as De Gea.
He didn't make as many mistakes, but he had better center backs for longer of the season in front of him.
Who did?
I think Ramsdale had Saliba and whoever else was Gabriel.
Those are better center backs than Martinez.
I'm saying he had them for longer than De Gea had.
Yes, agreed. I agree.
Okay, but wouldn't that be about limited exposure? Like, I think Thing still got exposed quite a bit, and Ramsdale made those saves. Whereas I think when De Gea got exposed, he conceded almost all the time, right? Whereas
it's fine margins.
It is fine margins. The other option that I have that I think is, like, without question, deserves probably the best shot stopper in the league this year was David Raya. So David Raya of Brentford, I think outright was probably really good distribution, the best, too. Shot stopper in the league. But let's be real, we don't really value their stakes. For Arsenal, it almost resulted in a title push. For Newcastle, it was punching well above their weight,
That's true.
For United, it was securing top four. For Brentford, it was what? Finishing almost in a European place if they beat City today, right? Like, it's not quite, the stakes are just not quite there. Even though it's a monumental achievement, I just don't rate it in the same regard. And also, I don't think they're going to beat City today, so I don't quite think it matters as much because the stakes are important, right? It's interesting that we all had different keepers. Let's go through it because there's going to be a lot of debates at a lot of different places in this team, with the exception of the obvious ones. Do we all have a back four?
Yes, I have a back four. Yeah.
We started left back. Left back was a tough pick.
It was not for me.
Easy not the me. Greatest standouts. Oh, was it for me? It wasn't the greatest standouts in the world. I put a player who I think was
left-footed defender
in the
There's league. Only one in my head.
Interesting.
Tell me. I don't know if it's the same one for me, but there's only one in my head too.
It's for me was Estupinan.
Estupinan.
Yeah, the left back. I think he was fantastic this year. He was not only because he was your runner up. Yeah. Okay.
Runner up.
Okay.
I want to hear. I think he had good flashes and great performances that elevated his average performance for the season.
Yeah.
And for average performance consistency for the season, I went with Luke Shaw.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Just because I think
he had a Luke Shaw was my runner up. You know what? Left back this year, to be honest, for like most of the years, we'd have someone solidified, or there was a lot of people in contention. But I think this year the fullbacks were pretty weak, especially with right back, because Reece and Trent were not in like the zone this year, especially Trent. Mm-hmm. But Reece was injured throughout the season, and Chilwell, I can't call Chilwell because as well he was hurt like half, if not all the and season, right?
Cancelo left midway through.
I was going to say
exactly that too, right?
It would have automatically been Cancelo, but he left in January, so there's you can't put someone in on 19 games a season.
100%, you can't. Yeah, no.
So the person who I put in. So for the record, I like what Purvis Estupinan was able to do for Brighton.
Sorry,
and who scored?
Everton. Holy shit!
No way!
Yeah, the goal just scored. It's a banger, bro. He scored.
Does that send Leicester down?
It's a screamer show,
it's, bro.
Oh,
it's
my goodness!
That's how you keep your team up, bro.
Oh, that is. Yeah, team of the season. They win, are they up? Team of the season midfielder.
Yeah, if Everton wins, they're up.
Oh wow! Oh wow! How we rate these stakes?
People are crying and stuff, bro. This is amazing.
Yo, the Leicester fans are about to slump big time. Anyway, let's come back to this.
Yeah,
back to what we were just saying, which was about who? Purvis is stupid on.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of what Brighton are doing right now, and Brighton will come up, I guarantee you, many more times today.
Yes,
because of what they were able to do, and he, to be honest, was very, very good at what De Zerbi needed him to be. But I looked at it on the other side of the game for my Premier League team of the season. Purvis Estupinan is really good going one way, often is not playing in the left back spot, is just playing everywhere else. And if that's the responsibilities of his position under De Zerbi, I can't take that away from him. However, Nathan Ake became a left back this season, and Nathan Ake was unmovable at left back this season. Now, not in the modern fullback sense that we tend to think of with fullbacks where they're bombing forward and getting goal and being productive and everything else. Has anybody beaten Nathan Ake one-on-one this season? Can you tell me one example where he got spun or he was at fault for a goal? Because it didn't happen. There are no examples of that. Nathan Ake was an unbelievable part of the resurgence for Man City. He displaced Aymeric Laporte, who, to be fair, before this season was in a league of his own, by the way, in terms of City's defenders and the left-footed defenders in the league. He was in a league of his own. Nathan Aké was like, nope, I'm more consistent, I'm more reliable, I'm stronger, and I'll just churn in these performances, which displaced Cancelo so much so Cancelo was like, I gotta leave. I can't handle not playing, bro. So, and not to mention, what did that result in? Resulted in City winning the league, and this tactical adjustment to the formation results in City on the cusp of a treble. I can't attribute that entirely to Nathan Aké, but I think a lot of Man City center backs deserve a lot of praise this season, and not all of them will get into the team of the year, but Aké playing as a left center back in a 3-1 in possession slash left back in defense where nobody can beat him. Brother,
yeah. What do you want? Like, that's the guy. I think it's good to give him a shout because he's not one that I thought of, and the fact that he's not on any of our radars except yours shows that you really needed to watch him to understand how good he was, because you didn't hear much of him in a bad or in a great way, which just tells me he was cruising at a 7 out of 10 every week. Which
he was consistent,
if not better.
He was really good, but I would still place him as left center back. I wouldn't really put him as my left back. And when I was thinking of it, I said if I had a three in the back.
My team does shift. Football manager.
Yeah, football manager, bro. Right? This is your strat. This is your tactics. I love it.
My tactics.
This is my tactics, bro.
This is Pep's tactics too, and it worked.
Yeah, but no, I think he had a fantastic season this season, you know. And like Mina said, it was cruising at a solid 7 out of 10 performance at least every week. So consistency was a big thing in this game this year, which. Yeah. To be fair, Nathan Aké didn't really have in his books. Like, sometimes he'd be amazing, sometimes he'd be like fucking shit. At least at Chelsea, I remember it as that. And then progressively, you know, he got way better. So
I feel like over the past couple of years, he's just been the beacon of consistency. It's just people don't consider him in the world-class discussion. Like, he's not exciting. So people aren't like, oh, he's one of the best. Nathan Aké is just exactly what you need in a team of winners sometimes. Just be the humble guy to kick ass. Like, he makes no mistakes. He doesn't get dribbled past, and yet he's not a superstar. That's a huge deal because everyone else at City is a superstar. So having a guy like this cannot be understated and under stress, not to mention in the fact when, like I said, everyone else at City is a superstar, and so they're going to grab headlines.
I agree.
Let's move to our center-back partnerships. Who wants to go first? Because I want to hear from Joe. You called out, you said ask me center-backs. Joe, tell me who your two center-backs are for your team of this season.
For sure, for me, it's Ruben Dias. For the first one, I'd hope at least all three of us would have him on our team.
Absolutely.
And then second,
Leicester scored.
Leicester scored. Damn. Okay. For me, second would be Sven Botman. That's who I want first.
Sven Botman. That's exactly who I have as well. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the right answer. Sven Botman.
No, the right answer is Sandro Martinez.
It was a brick wall.
No, it isn't. Vida.
Is Ruben Dias and Lisandro Martinez. I don't care what you think. I don't care that you called him to go to the Premier League. And I don't care that you said, Spurs should sign him because he's a great player. He is a great player.
He is.
I'm talking about system. It benefited him so much. And he's definitely a good player and all that. But it's not anyone outside of Lisandro Martinez. I don't care.
No,
He's
like one of the reasons why they kept so many clean sheets as well.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. No, here's the thing.
Ditto for Licha. He's the main reason we kept our clean sheets too. And how many more than Newcastle? I don't care.
Okay, so, Mina, I want you to present the argument. This will be for the people that is more than Newcastle. Tell me, in your opinion, Mina, why Licha deserves to be like dethrone us, make us wrong so that the audience can decide, because then I'm gonna back Joe here and we'll lay down the fucking stat line on Sven Botman and why he's the dude, because it is Sven Botman and Ruben Dias.
The stats don't lie for sure, but at the end of the day, you watch him, you watch Licha, the eye test does not lie either. The amount of
the eye test doesn't lie for Sven Botman either. We just didn't think that Licha would be as good as he was, and Sven Botman lived up to the hype. So it looks like Licha overperformed, but that does not make him a better defender or more worthy to be in this team than Sven Botman. Listen, there's only going to be one left center back in the team, and they're both left-footed in the thing. Sven Botman, dude, think of where Newcastle were.
Abilities better, interceptions are better. No, I don't care that he has...
You dropped a really good defender into a top four side. Versus a dude from a relegation side who put them in the Champions League, bro.
Sven Botman alone made Newcastle a top four side?
No, but without Sven Botman, they're not getting in. So
if you put another good defender, it doesn't have to be as good as Sven Botman, but another good defender wouldn't have done the same thing.
Tell me the defender.
Same profile. I don't care. I don't have anyone on the top of my head.
Switch him. How about switch him? Put put Licha in Newcastle. No, they don't make top four with Lisandro Martinez in
Newcastle. Yeah, not with the way they play. Not with the way they play, but the way that we play, the way that Ten Hag plays, he's been outstanding, and he's been the best center back in the Premier League. In the left center back.
He's been really good.
Ruben Diaz has been, but left center back, I'm just ball playing ability, interceptions, just like all of that kind of stuff. I'm putting Licha.
I know there's nothing I can say that'll convince you of it, because, but Mina, what you have to remember is really that close. You've witnessed the worst defenders in the entire world for many years. So the breath of fresh air that has taken place here shows, wow, this dude is so good. What it's like, yeah, he's but very, very good. I can't take that away from him.
That doesn't mean I'm watching other teams.
But objectively, to watch Sven Botman, which I know you don't have as much exposure with as your own side, and I will tell you that.
For sure.
But I have the same amount of exposure watching United as I do Newcastle week to week, which is pretty even because I tend to watch about every game in the world. Sven Botman is more deserving for more reasons than he is, even if the United fan, and you won't allow that to be true. And to be fair, it's not to discredit Licha. Licha was the number one name on my honorable mentions list for defenders. He deserves a place in this team. He does. He's
at least
just
you're not saying
one
it's
or
Saliba.
Two. Saliba's number four.
he's the
next name. This is my backup. Understudy to Ruben Diaz. Yeah. He's my right-footed understudy. Licha's my left-footed understudy.
No, listen. We're talking about four really good center backs here, and I'm not.
Yes.
Like, obviously, silliness aside, I'm not unrating Sven Botman because I know, like, he's a really good defender, and I do rate him. But for me, I'm putting Licha all day because the things I saw him do week in, week out. My exposure for Licha is more than your exposure for Licha, but you have even exposure to both of them. So yes. I'm going with him because someone needs to be backing this guy, and I'm going to be man.
If we had an Arsenal fan on here, they'd say that Saliba deserves.
They'd say it's Saliba. So I 100% understand.
Do they have a point? Like Ruben deserves number one. Ruben Diaz is without question, undisputed. Yeah. Like Ruben Diaz, the impact
when
that he makes
plays,
City,
he's the
makes City,
in the
and it's not close. Like Ruben Diaz is by far and away, I think, the best defender that the league has. And I'm sorry to the Van Dijk merchants, and I'm sorry to everybody else. That's objective truth. Ruben Diaz is the best captain in the league. He's the best leader in the league. He has the most passes per 90, the highest pass completion rate. He's composed. He's strong. Nobody beats him. Ruben's number one, and I don't think that could be disputed. But for that second spot, for his partner, I think depending on where you're coming from, you pitch Botman, you pitch Lissandro, you pitch Saliba.
There's
somebody
three viable
to me
options.
The Saliba. They're all viable options. And I don't want to take away Saliba because he had a really, really good most of the campaign, and he got injured towards the end of the campaign. Are we being too harsh on him?
For Saliba? No, I think like Saliba, looking at it now, Saliba was a major reason why they did drop off because Holding isn't that guy. And I talked about this last week as well, or like 2 weeks ago, saying like their transfer window wasn't good enough because they didn't get an extra defender or a better midfielder, work rating midfielder, because Jorginho is great and all. But he went and it was a disaster. They their form, if you think about it, was like, it was definitely a top four form, but like I'm talking like fourth place, not like second or third. So losing someone like Saliba, losing the composure, it's huge. So I understand the Saliba shot too, but you know, Sven Botman stayed the whole season, and
we're talking about three players that have had massive impact for their clubs, and the back line would not be anywhere near the same without either of those three. Like you saw the impact without Saliba, you saw the impact without Licha, and you definitely know what Newcastle are capable of conceding without Sven Botman. So 100%, like silliness aside, all three of them, take your pick.
They all deserve shots, and credit to all of them. What about at right back? For me, right back is clear. It doesn't even require debate. It's clear number one option, and it's not close. It's Kieran Trippier. And I want to go first because I think that everybody else should have Kieran Trippier.
Same. I have Kieran Trippier.
No, I have more stats written for Kieran Trippier as to why than any other player in the team, because he had so many reasons that were compelling. I think he's the only candidate.
Isn't he third most chances created this season behind De Bruyne and Fernandes?
Yes. He is at 110. No, sorry. He's actually ahead of De Bruyne. He's second highest chances.
Oh, shit.
He's ahead of De Bruyne.
He only had a world-class season, to be fair.
Which I don't know if that's... Frank. Right. I don't know if that was updated today. So if he created chances today or something else happened, then this is from as of...
He scored an own goal today, so don't worry.
As of 37 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. As of 37 weeks, yeah. The second most expected assists at almost 12 in the league this season, coming from right back, 24 big chances created, 7 assists, and the highest FOTMOB rating in the Premier League this season of all contenders ahead of
Ronaldo. Oh, that's what we're doing now? That's our system.
I think that matters. If he's the highest rated player across 38 weeks, I'm totally, you don't think that's relevant?
Totally, I mean, FOTMOB,
like, okay, FOTMOB is totally the is the app. I think it matters. FOTMOB doesn't give 10 out of 10. I think, bro. So for him to earn the highest rating,
I think we have to take it with a grain of salt. I think people take ratings a little bit, like a little bit too seriously. I think the you can't just use it without watching the player. And I know all three of us understand that. But for the listeners, you can't just take, you know, someone that's a 7.49 and say that he was better than someone that was a 7.43 when that guy might have just dropped off a little bit because he got a yellow card in a game. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that's how the ratings work. It's an algorithm. Yeah. You have to watch the game as well to understand the context.
Solanke and Pickford are absolutely
brawling. Yeah, see that, bro? They're fighting on the ground. They're proper fighting.
And I hate Pickford, so you know I'm Leeds, back to Solanke
Leeds
in this
scored.
Week,
but, so it's 2-1 against Spurs there.
4-2 for
it's 4-3. 4-3 for Southampton. Liverpool just
Jesus.
Scored.
What a game. And Arsenal are smacking Wolves, by the way. This is just a quick little update on what's going on across the league. Bro, you know what I'm putting that game on.
Jaka's scoring a hat trick before he leaves.
Jeez Louise, man. 4-3 Southampton.
4-3 Southampton.
Don't put anything else? Jesus. Anyway, let's go through the midfield because you guys have midfield threes. I have a midfield four. Hmm. Who is in your guys' midfield? Give me your midfield three, like as a three, and then we'll discuss the three. Mina, you start with this one.
I went Rodri, De Bruyne, and Odegaard.
Okay. Joe, who did you go with?
Yeah, go ahead.
I went Rodri, De Bruyne, Odegaard.
Interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I was going to put Bruno Guimarães. Actually, not Fernandez instead of Odegaard. Yeah, good.
I have a lot of Newcastle in my team. I think it can't be understated that what Newcastle did this season was become a Champions League team when they had no business being a Champions League team.
Correct.
Let's not forget when the financial takeover took place. It was December last year, 18 months ago, basically, and they were in 18th place. They were in the relegation zone. They qualified for Champions League, not Europe. Yeah.
It's not like they went out and spent like so much yet. Nope. That's the crazy part.
Smart.
So they spent so smart. Smart, bro. But another thing is, I know there's like rumors going around that this year Newcastle are actually, you know, since they're in the Champions League and they're ahead of schedule, they're gonna ball out. But I see that. But personally,
you see the tweet for the window that we were talking about.
That was crazy.
I sent a tweet to the group chat of their list of players. But I mean, you take that with a grain of salt because I mean, 100%.
I think
their wish list is a career
sign Ronaldo. 100%.
I don't think they should be doing that stuff. Though,
yeah, I don't think they should. But I can see the Saudi Arabia links happening.
Yeah, because right now they're on the right track. And I think, yes, you have to have certain additions in the squad because you're in the Champions League. You need more depth and more quality. But you have to slowly progress it, you know, because they have no right winning a Champions League, or they don't have any experience. Nobody has any idea. So you build that experience. And then at the end, like, it's a 10-year project winning a Champions League, at least. 100%. So,
at least.
So you have to take your time. Yeah, at least. Right. And Nathan, I totally agree with the Bruno shout. It's just that, you know, I need to have one Arsenal player in.
I did too.
They're like
so
second, right?
You guys might be surprised by this. I actually don't have Rodri in my team of the year. And it's not because he doesn't deserve to be in there, because Rodri's arguably like the best defensive midfielder in the
amazing.
World.
Amazing. He was.
I just,
he is.
The way that I approached this and building my team was I really wanted to give recognition to players that maybe won't get the recognition that they quite deserve. De Bruyne is an obvious one. We all know that De Bruyne's going to be in our team of the year. Yeah. So it's not really worth discussing. He's going to be in the team. Bruno Guimarães, like I said, deserves it because Bruno Guimarães is the heart of Newcastle. Like, forget the goal of him. He's been involved in 10 goals from midfield. That doesn't even matter to me. Bruno Guimarães is the heart of the team. The energy that this dude displays, when you talk box to box, this dude's not just like box to box. This dude's like corner flag to corner flag to corner flag to corner flag. He is the surface area of St. James's Park. He covers every blade of grass every week, leading the press, defending with his life.
I
just can't stress like how important he is to that team. Huge. Because I'll be honest with you, you put a player with more production or a player with more energy, but good luck finding one, just different attributes, it doesn't work the same way with what they're trying.
He's the perfect blend of what they need.
He's the 100%. Heart of the team.
First name
exactly
on the team
what
sheet.
They're necessary.
He converts. Like, initially he's supposed to be like a deep lying playmaker, but he can tell like at the side that he doesn't have that much of an experience center mid with him, or at least that quality, so he can like easily switch to box to box.
That he doesn't
play
Brazil alongside Casemiro.
No, 100%.
Like every game.
I agree. I think it's different.
I don't know if he's a playmaker. That's kind of the thing for him. Like, I think Brazil plays with Paqueta because they know Paqueta like links play and draws, you know, like pull strings. Whereas I think Guimarães is, in essence, an engine who's just everywhere all at once and forces you to make mistakes and then digress to the players who can make more things happen. Now, ultimately, he finds himself getting 10 goal involvements from midfield anyway. And I think that's only just the beginning of what he's actually capable of as we dig into his potential. But I think first and foremost, he's a defensive midfielder. He's just all of the energy and the heart in the world. So it's not even about his on-ball abilities. It's about his press and his energy and what he does in that space, bro. I think is among the best in the league. Now, you could tell me, okay, but Rodri is the linchpin for City. And without Rodri, City can't do what they do. You're right. I'm not arguing why Rodri shouldn't be in the team. My suggestions here are mostly that Odegaard, I agree with you guys, deserves to be in the team because Odegaard has some crazy stats this year too.
It's like 15 goals, I think, and like an open play, something like that.
All in open play, bro. None from penalties or anything else, bro. That's remarkable that Odegaard was able to do that. He's the cam in my system because I have 4-3-1-2. He's my cam.
I figured.
De Bruyne is my right center mid. Guimarães is my left center mid. Am I holding midfielder, guys? You know who it is?
Who?
It's Pascal Gross.
Oh, that's good. That's a good shot. Who would
have thought that Pascal Gross would be a player with 9 goals and 7 assists who can play center back, CDM, center mid, cam, striker, right back.
But don't everywhere you think Casemiro would get there before? I think Casemiro would get there before.
Look,
Casemiro, Palinha.
Wait, I have those guys in my honorable mentions. This dude had 16 goal involvements as a central defensive midfielder and was the heart of Brighton's system. He is to De Zerbi what all the guys you just named is to their respective managers, but his production was off the charts and it wasn't from cam, dude. It was from right back. It was from CDM. It was from center midfielder. And you think to yourself, who the hell is Pascal Gross to find his way in this team? Does Pascal Gross, is that a player who gets 16 goal involvements in the league and leads Brighton to European places? The hell he isn't. Guess what, bro? He is. And he's the heart of that team, introducing the likes of Matoma and Ferguson and Caicedo and every other player who's nasty at Brighton. McAllister, who's nasty at Brighton right now, exists because Pascal Gross gives them the framework to do that. And he's got 15, 16 goals involvements from center midfield. Pascal Gross deserves all that and a bag of chips when it comes to the thing because he doesn't have the prestige. But what he has is the heart and the belief of Roberto De Zerbi, who might be the best manager in the league this season.
Cool story. Okay. They're still going to try to replace him in the summer.
No, they're not. Brighton are not going to go out to replace things. Look at their model. They're not going out to buy things. They're going to introduce new players.
Pascal, no disrespect.
You hear what I just said?
I heard everything you just said.
We'll find another midfielder.
When I'm watching Brighton, I'm not watching Pascal Gross. So I really don't. I could not give a shit about him.
You're not watching Rodri at City. You're not watching Casemiro at United.
I am. I'm watching both of those guys.
You're not. 100%. You're watching the stars. He's enabling them to do that. This is the same thing.
They are the stars. Rodri and Casemiro are stars in their team.
They're not the stars of the team when you have the De Bruyne and the Haalands of the team. They're stars because they're superstars who play in the Champions League. Pascal Gross isn't that and outperformed all of them.
Gross has had a fantastic season. And like you said, he's been very versatile. But I think Casemiro, you know, you have to put that ahead of
Casemiro, Rodri, and Palinha all deserve to be ahead.
Casemiro was like he literally showed world class this whole season.
100%, he was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was amazing. But I understand that, and you know what, Nathan, I get it because you're going with honorable mention kind of people.
Look at what he did. Nobody expected that. He overachieved, and for me, that's more than just a standard performance of a dude who's objectively better than him.
Oh, yeah.
Simple as.
So the same logic should put Licha in your team then, because he overachieved as opposed to someone who should be better than him. I'm just saying.
Fight.
I'm just saying.
I love it.
If Licha was as good as Pascal Gross, he would have been
Shut up, dude.
Gross hurts to hear.
His name is Gross. He's grossly overrated.
He's gross because he's filthy. He's disgusting. No, listen,
Pascal Gross is a good player. He always turns up in a big game, but I'm talking about average along the whole season. Of Palinha, all of Casemiro, all of Rodri.
Different attributes. Not what I want in my team.
And if you're going with someone that's like, we already know these are stars, let's look at someone else. 100%, I understand that. But
yes, that's exactly what I'm
the people that deserve to be in the team is not them.
Nah, I don't know. I don't know with that. I think it's worth a mention.
It is. I think it's more than just worth a mention. 100% it's worth a mention. And I think it's good that you're shining a light. I think it's good that you're shining a light from on people that like should not have advocates, basically, in the team of the season.
We do not have advocates, but who?
So it's, so it's good that you're doing that. But like, I would 100% put Rodri, Paulinho, or Casemiro ahead of him without a.
Well, if you are building a real team to try to compete in the league for sure, and if you're looking for a more natural six with those attributes, yes, I agree. All those guys, literally, all three of those guys are my next in line and honorable mentions. But if I took the names out of it and I said, hey, in your team of the season, does a midfielder who created 79 chances, who got his team into Europe, who didn't deserve to be there and who got 16 goal involvements from midfield, is that a player who deserves to be in the team of the season if you didn't know their names? You look at it and you go, yeah, that guy's crazy. You wouldn't put Guimarães in. You wouldn't put Bruno into the team at that point. You'd go, oh, no, he didn't have the same production. Like, what did he actually offer? I think Pascal Gross offers everything. He offers the production, the stats, and the actual eye test for as enabling his team to do what they had to do, which was to tremendously overachieve and kick ass, bro. Brighton beat all of us. Everybody yeah. sitting at this table got ran through by Brighton at some point this season.
We got ran through by everyone. Don't
they put, did.
Don't yeah. So don't even.
They did. 100%. Brighton should.
How
be
do we not give like credit Brighton to their guy, to the heart of their
conversation? But if I'm taking a midfielder from Brighton, I'm looking at Caicedo before I look at Pascal Gross.
Caicedo was awesome. Caicedo, a huge, like big name that was allowed to become a big name because of Pascal Gross. Sorry to tell you. Pascal Gross is that fucking dude. And that's my midfield. I know it's controversial.
I appreciate your hipster shouts, but hipster I'm not going with it.
He called the hipster shouts. That's so funny. Yeah, yeah, fair. That's fair.
No, but like, seriously.
It'd be a boring show if we all just said Roger.
It would 100% be a boring show, and that's why I appreciate what you're doing. So, like, it's all jokes, but I get it.
I get it. I gotta
give credit to these players, man. I don't, who will? I'm the only one who watches them.
Exactly.
Because you didn't, neither of you knew that Pascal Gross had those stats. Did you know that? I know you didn't know.
I didn't.
No, of course not. Because that's the thing. So if I'm not telling you, then somebody's out there is going to go, man, they don't even know about Pascal Gross. I know about Pascal Gross. And now you know about Pascal Gross.
Plus. Arsenal are 5-0 up and Liverpool equalized. So they're 4-4.
Bro, we're watching the wrong games. I mean, they have no stakes and they're just outperforming like crazy. Yeah, I'm out here watching for once.
Yo, Bournemouth is gonna score, guys. I'm telling you from now.
I think so too. I feel.
Yeah.
I feel it coming too.
I feel it like hard. I mean, like, yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Obi with the original fidget spinner. Yeah, there you go. Cross. Thank you.
I want to hear from both of you. The original fidget spinner. You guys will have wingers in your team. I have some pretty big omissions. Now, I went with two strikers because I think the two strikers I put, and there's not really much of a secret who they are.
I think it's obvious.
Objectively better seasons than all of the wingers that you're about to propose to me. Though it is worth mentioning that the wingers of the Premier League this season had some incredible seasons. Like truly, truly astonishing stat lines in terms of production, in terms of importance to their team. Yeah. I don't want to deprive either of you of that. I want to hear from you guys on your wingers, and then we'll kind of culminate in strikers at the end.
Joe, do you want to take this one first?
Yeah, of course.
My left wing and right wing.
Left wing?
No. Leave out the striker. We're going to do strikers.
Okay.
Left wing and right wing. Who are your wingers?
Okay.
Left wing. I wonder who we all put as a striker.
We have to save that one.
Left wing is going to be Rashford.
Okay.
And right wing, I put Mohamed Salah.
That's exactly my two as well. So I think Joe and I are going to end up with the same front three.
Saka, you're a bum. Okay, and you fell off the last two whole months of bullshit. Well, you sucked. So I don't want to hear any Saka shouts because he bottled it. He bottled it along with his team because he wasn't there when they needed him the most. So it's Mohamed Salah. He was there when they needed him the most. And it was Rashford who was there when they needed him the most. So that's it.
Salah slept like slowly got 19 goals and 11 assists to have 30 goal contributions in the Premier League season.
This is a bad season for him.
Yeah,
apparently.
This is like that's I want his bad seasons.
Yeah, you know me too. I mean? For real, that's it. So like,
because of how Nathan Strikers performed in in the whole season, those two, he flew right under the radar, and because of how shit Liverpool were. Yeah, we helped them a little bit in that United 7-0 game to get those three extra goals. But, you know, he still flew under the radar to get 19 goals and 11 assists. And Rashford, 100%, wouldn't be top four team without his goal contributions this season.
Without
a doubt. At one point this season, he was the most informed player in the world.
Player in the world.
He was the guy for like 4 months there from basically like December to March.
Every game was unplayable. Every game. Yeah. So, and that's one of the, that is, that could be the main reason why you guys are in top four right now.
I'm telling you, we had like 4 or 5 months where if he doesn't score, we're not scoring.
100%.
Like totally, yeah. I think he's got the most.
That's been the case for every year since Louis Van Gaal. Every year you could say that about Rashford.
Every year.
Rashford's not there. We're not doing this. Every year, bro.
Other than this,
and it's hindered him, to be honest. And I've talked about this, that like he could be a way bigger, way better player if he had more structure in his career. But ever since he's been on the scene, it's always been a struggle at United.
Imagine what he would have been.
Imagine if he had just a striker.
When Mbappe was coming on, it was Rashford and Mbappe. And let's not forget that, right? Like, who was going to be better? But then obviously Mbappe took like an extra thing. But
I mean, it was Kelechi Iheanacho and Rashford. Like, that was
not you were the only one driving that.
It was Kelechi Iheanacho. No, don't you remember? People were saying, why isn't he getting picked for the England team?
Yeah. Yeah, why isn't he getting
picked? Oh, he's Nigerian. Whoops. So no, it's just racism at that point. Oh, he's not English.
If one of the strikers Nathan's about to name comes to join United, or if we just get a normal striker that we can rely on for a good 30 games a season in the Prem, his output's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Do you think more credit needs to be given to, let's see, like other contenders, right? So obviously Saka, to be fair, Saka 13 goals and 11 assists this season, Martinelli 15 goals and 5 assists. If those guys are Premier League winners, those are our wingers in the team of the year, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what anyone else did. If they won the league, we would say, okay, those are the guys. Yes?
Yeah.
I think
but because they didn't, we leave them out. Yes?
Yeah, and they also flopped towards the end. They flopped. Like they showed that they couldn't keep it up when the pressure was high.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. I'm not going to put someone in team of the season when you haven't had any impact. Like, you had impact in the beginning, but when they really needed you, you're like non-existent. Martinelli had a pass. They could have beat Liverpool if Martinelli just passed a simple pass. And he just fell off. And then Saka for a whole month, at least every single game, was a solid 5 or 4 out of 10.
Yeah, it would be ass. No output coming from him.
No, zero.
Like,
falling,
he wouldn't try to take anyone on. But
yeah,
the
tired.
Two that we named, without them, their teams are in much worse
Their teams are not,
the
yeah. Like, Salah, they wouldn't, Liverpool would never amounted to a Champions League, spot, like to fight for
League?
One. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And without Rashford's goals, they wouldn't be in the top four right now.
Yeah,
that's it. The way it is. It's as simple as that to me.
The reason I don't have wingers, and to be fair, I would have had the same ones, if either of them I felt had a better season than Harry Kane did. But Harry Kane did not have a worse season than those guys. Harry Kane has what? At this point, because Spurs are winning, so I think he's on 29 goals this season.
Yeah, he scored 2 goals. He
scored two. He's on
30. It's 3-1. So
you know
Harry
Kane has 30 goals in the Premier League,
and he's
not
winning
a
Golden
Boot
winner.
That's insane.
That's actually
that deserves. That's insane. He is absolute. As far as I'm concerned, bro, the second name in the Premier League team of the year should be Harry Kane.
Harry
like it's
Kane,
obviously Erling Haaland, who's our number one striker for everybody.
Yeah. Everyone,
because Erling Haaland had the best production ever in the,
but
like,
Harry Kane,
in the
record breaking season.
How many assists did he have too, Nathan?
Because he had 3 assists, but he had 30 goals. He had 30 goals.
How many of those are penalties? It doesn't matter how many of those
doesn't
are penalties. Someone has to score.
That's just it. Exactly. And he does.
30 goals is insane.
So the fact that Haaland wrecked the curve at 36 with 8 assists is just preposterous of what Erling Haaland was able to do. So we have to take Haaland out of it. Haaland is number one.
Yeah, but being 6 goals behind is not that far behind.
That's exactly my point. It never felt like this was a race. And yet on the last day, we go, okay, 6 goals behind. What's 6 goals? 6 goals is pretty significant over a season. Don't get me wrong. But when you have 30, bro, the Golden Boot was won last year with 22 goals. Dude has 30 in 37 games. And I think that Harry Kane has more of a shout for this team of the year. Instead of saying, okay, I'm going to play with wingers, or I'm going to play Haaland left wing or Kane left wing to make a team that doesn't work, I went midfielders that work in the team and 2 strikers, because ultimately these 2 strikers should be leading the line in everybody's team of the season.
Correct. I get it. Yeah, I get it. It's totally. If you're not playing a 4-3-3 and you have to find a way to put them both in.
Yeah.
100%. No, I understand that. Okay, bro, that's a lot closer than I thought, to be quite honest with you. 30 to 38, like he had a fantastic season then.
Yeah,
and listen, it only gets better if he does move.
Wait,
if he
Brentford
does go to
win.
United,
does Brentford mean if he comes to United, it's going to be crazy?
Yeah,
he goes to Chelsea too. Either of them, like under Pochettino.
Bro, I don't want to sign anyone. I don't want to sign. I don't want. I'll sign like the oldest guy. I don't want to sign nobody.
You don't want to buy Joe? Players.
Huh? I want to dive in Tony, but like, what am I gonna tell you?
No, that's who Spurs have to get. That's who Spurs have to get to replace Kane, who's going to go to a bigger team.
I really don't want to spend another 100 million, or I really don't care about spending anymore. I want to offload players, and whatever money you get from the players, yeah, you can buy, but I don't want to spend money anymore.
So, but Joe, you have to consider, how can you set your manager up for success and then not back him in what he needs? If he says, I need a striker and a six, you go get him a striker and a six. If
Pochettino says that, sure. Okay,
you don't think he's going to say that? He's going to walk in and say, we have no striker. Know, let's go get
so many players.
The first thing he's going to say.
Listen, we have so many players.
Or does he make Lukaku work?
No, I don't think so.
Lukaku is a disgrace, bro. I want Lukaku out anyway. I don't care. Someone if he wins the Champions League, like, I don't have time.
Oh, my God. Weghorst just missed the open net. It's so funny. That's who you should sign, Joe. Tell Pochettino about Weghorst.
Yeah. And, like, Osimhen's 100 million. Like, it's too much, man.
Osimhen's going to be more than 100 million. Yeah, guarantee it. Is there a situation where Kane stays and runs out his contract and leaves on a free to get more money?
I don't. Kane is not staying. I think Kane
I think Levy won't let him leave. Yeah. I think he will stay and leave for free next year. I think that's exactly what's going to happen, to be honest. Because the market has to justify it. So if you go out and get a striker, everybody's going to say, Daniel Levy, we will give you 80 million for Harry Kane, tops. And he's going to go, no. And he'll go, cool. I will see you in 4 months then, because it'll be August when those conversations happen. I will see you in December, and I'm going to take your player for free on a pre-contract. And then he's going to go, okay, well, I'll run the risk. I'm going to spin the bottle and hope that he gets us into the Champions League next season.
Levy is with a terrible owner, bro.
That's what's going to happen. We know that. You know he's not going to sell Kane for below market value, and Kane's not going to stay. Yeah. He has. That's exactly what's going to happen. And then next season, it'll be the Harry Kane sweepstakes.
Even if Kane pushes everyone's going to look at it. We've seen Kane push for a move before.
But yeah, but he's such a good professional.
Yeah, but he came out. He'll like. I don't think so. Like, he shows up at training. But he had an interview with Gary Neville saying, it's time for me to move on.
It's not about a training, bro. It's about performing on the pitch.
He didn't say Spurs.
Yeah, but he says I want to leave, and he's scoring 30 goals at Tottenham. Club, but
so, I agree with you. I think he is a professional. I think he is a professional,
but I think he was like, okay, this is me pushing for a move in the most respectable way I can do it. Let me leave. And then,
yeah, but I think this time he's like, nah, man, like, I'm 30, 31. Like, I gotta leave. Like, this is it.
I think he had a broken handshake agreement. I think he said, Daniel, if a bid comes in this year, you're going to let me go. And Levy said, yeah, I will. And then so Kane in his last game was applauding the fans, like tears in his eyes. He's like, listen, thank you for the memories. Like, you know, I'll always remember this place. I did everything that I could to help you guys. And Levy went, I'm not going to sell him.
Bournemouth nearly scored. Sorry.
What happened, Joe?
Bournemouth were, like, around the attack, yeah. And there's like plus 10 minutes.
There's 10 minutes of stoppage time, yeah.
Yeah, this is like, Nathan, you know what's coming, yeah?
It is, bro. Yeah, I know, you're going to react sooner than me.
It's going to be wild.
It was close, bro. Let's see. Because at this point, Leicester are going down. But Leicester are winning too. They have to hold on. They're doing everything they can. If Bournemouth beat Everton at this point, they go down. That's basically how it works.
Yeah. Because Leicester are winning. No, if Bournemouth draw, I think.
Oh, you're right. Just a draw. You're right. Because
Leicester's winning, yeah.
That's wild. So, anyway, you know what we didn't talk about? We need our manager of the season. That's what we still have to discuss, because there are, I think, no shortage of candidates, to be honest. There's a few managers who did very, very good things. Let's lay out who those candidates are. Pep Guardiola is a Premier League winning manager. Again, that deserves a shout. Mikel Arteta had a hell of a season, coached a team, and we'll say who bottled it fine, because that seems to be what everybody's saying. But a team who had no business challenging for the league and sitting atop it for 250 days, that definitely deserves some credit if you're Arteta. De Zerbi leveled up Brighton, which we didn't think was possible when Potter left, and Potter left after a month into the season. De Zerbi's been outstanding in what he's able to get out of his team, the integration of the players and everything else. And Eddie Howe turned Newcastle from relegation side into a Champions League side in the span of 18 months. If we're just going to look at objectively this season, he took them from 11th place where they finished last season into third this year and had the second best defense in the league. Who is are there other candidates? Does anybody else want to give shout to?
No, I'm not going to put Ten Hag in.
No,
I'm
kidding.
I'm not going to put Ten Hag in because
Unai Emery could be a candidate. He took Villa from 17th to 6th, right? Like, can't forget what Unai Emery did. He deserves a shout. You're right.
I'm just going to speak to the United fans just screaming about people putting Ten Hag in this conversation. Ten Hag did exactly what was required of him.
He
dealt with the chaos and he put us into the Champions League spots. And guess what? He picked up a trophy on the way. So it's not ahead of track. It's not behind track. We're just exactly on track or exactly where we need to be. Just relax. Give the guy some time to work his stuff. Don't put extra pressure on him because God knows there's no more high pressure job in the world. So I think we just let him do his thing.
Better season than
so Chelsea, you get fired every 6 weeks.
No, what do you want me to put Lampard? Oh wait,
yeah, honestly, yeah. Might be the worst manager in the league ever.
No, he is.
Like, dude,
he's not. Who was Rafael van der Vaart or someone that,
Frank de Boer.
Yeah, but bro, like,
Bar is hella.
He got sacked after seven. I understand, but like, objectively, are we sure that Lampard's better than that? Are we sure?
Yes. Dude, damn. Bournemouth didn't score the long range one, bro. You should look right now.
I am looking. It's about to happen. I'm on a delay.
Just switch the games. That would be great because
they score this. That would have been crazy.
Leicester have 2 minutes left, but they're doing everything they can.
Mina, I appreciate your shout for like why it shouldn't be Ten Hag. Who is your pick?
I went with De Zerbi. Like, I understand that Pep won the league and all that kind of stuff. So, like, not obviously, enough can be said about how much of an achievement that is, especially from not being first for most of the season. So, like, he was challenged a bit. But the way that we spoke about Brighton after Graham Potter left and that they, you know, we didn't know what they were going to do and De Zerbi just came in and arguably leveled up. I'm going with him.
Not arguable. He made them much better.
Much better. It's crazy. Like, the games that he put on against some of the biggest teams in the league, insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that your pick as well?
No, mine's Eddie Howe.
Mm.
Yeah.
He would have been my second pick.
It was either deserved.
These are my top two as well.
Yeah, but I think I just went with Eddie Howe just because of the fact that Newcastle did reach a Champions League spot. And that alone, you know, you need to be commended because 18 months, like in that short period of time, they brought in some people, but like, in essence, really, there's a lot of the same personnel. So the way of football they play as well is really, really good and consistently throughout the season and a bunch of clean sheets, a bunch. So, I think Eddie Howe just deserves a lot of praise for reaching the Champions League. So good for him. And I think that's who I'm going to go with.
I think both these dudes are looked at as managers who did a lot with what they have and punched above their weight. Here's the thing with De Zerbi. De Zerbi did that with a Brighton side that didn't have resources. He made the most out of a team that is not a transfer spending team, right? Like, they invest in development and youth, but he promotes them and he makes them look damn good. The bravery with which they play, right? The style of play, the fact that they don't care who their opposition are, the fact that they're so damn young and they make so few mistakes that, obviously at times they still lose, but the steps that they've taken is pretty remarkable. With Eddie Howe, on the other hand, Eddie Howe was given more resources but took over a worse team. And I think that everything's kind of gone right for him. But I think sometimes we take that for granted. Like, you often they'll say, okay, well, you know, we'll back the manager and then that'll in tune give us success. And that is often not the case. Oftentimes you give a manager resources and then things go wrong. Oh, somebody gets injured. Oh, the player couldn't happen. Oh, they couldn't hang. You know who got 18 goals and 5 assists in the Premier League this season? Callum Wilson. Why? Yeah. Because Alexander Isak missed most of the season. I think what Eddie Howe has done with his Newcastle side is unbelievable. And even though objectively De Zerbi might be producing the best football in the league, which is probably true because that's like the highest degree of champagne football right now is what Brighton are doing, believe it or not. I think Eddie Howe's achievement to turn Newcastle into a Champions League team this quickly and figure it out and get it right should not be understated. Newcastle were a relegation team last year. Now they're in the Champions League. Eddie Howe,
and they got to a cup final. Not to forget that.
Yeah, you're right.
They were really close. They were a penalty kick. No, they weren't penalties. They lost 2-0. But whatever.
Damn close. Yeah, they were damn close. And they were really close. They beat the brakes off of Brighton when they played them. Not that matters, but like, I mean, like Pep and De Zerbi had. I don't know if you guys watched Brighton versus City, but that was one of the most competitive games I've ever seen.
It was a very entertaining.
That was thrilling. Newcastle beat their asses, bro. Like at St. James's Park, and I was like, damn, this is fun. So ultimately, what do we have here? I'm going to side with Joe. I think that Eddie Howe is the manager of the season. I think that De Zerbi is in second place. And then we can go through Pep and Arteta and whoever else the contenders ought to be.
Arteta got 3 more points than Ollie did when we finished second, so I'm not hearing the Arteta shouts.
No, I don't know.
I think he deserves credit.
No, I'm totally kidding. It's the whole points argument is stupid. Points don't matter. It's the context of the league that matters. I just wanted to put another dagger into the Arsenal.
Second place is pretty good.
Yeah. Just hurt their feelings a little bit.
Just hurt their feelings one more time.
Are you guys? Do we all have on the Everton Bournemouth game at this point?
Yeah.
Just to kind of see out the rest of this, because that's what I'm watching too. I say from this point to the end of the show, we just react to whatever's happening here. I'm going to take us through. You guys react to it. I'm going to take us through what happened throughout the rest of the league. Arsenal beat Wolves 5-0, which is absolutely unbelievable achievement. Aston Villa beat Brighton on the final day of the season. That's a big deal. It doesn't change anything. It just means that Villa are 1 point behind Brighton, and they will be in the Conference League next season.
Are they seventh?
Spurs did not do enough because Villa won, which means that even though they won 4-1, Spurs did not secure that Conference League place. Spurs will have no Europe next season. That's pretty significant.
They're used to it. So
Leeds are down. Chelsea, Newcastle played to a draw. Brentford beat City, a rotated City side. I'm not that concerned about that, to be completely honest with you, as long as it doesn't happen again next week. The only game still in play, Southampton, Liverpool played in almost the game of the season, playing to a 4-4. Ultimately, those positions were already decided, so it doesn't really matter. And now here we stand, Everton, Bournemouth, the only game still happening, where the stakes are, I believe, if Everton, at the current result, because Everton are winning, they are safe. But if anything were to happen, if Bournemouth were to score, Everton go down and Leicester remain in the Premier League. But right now, Southampton, Leeds, and Leicester are all relegated from the Premier League in this current moment. If
they're wasting so much time right now.
Yeah, they're wasting so much time. If Bournemouth score just one goal, if they equalize, it's done. All the Leicester fans are checking their phones. The players are checking their phones. Sean Dyche is gone mental. Guys, who wants to pick up James Madison
for
£25 million?
Yo, let's do a Leicester sweepstakes, man.
Indeedy going to be $10 million. I can't wait.
You can pick both of them up. Yeah, you can pick all three of those up for $80 million right now.
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
I don't know.
One Harry Maguire.
Look at the Bournemouth football right now.
Oh, tell me how you guys think. Do you guys think that Leicester are going to be willing to just have a fire sale, or do you think they're going to be able to retain their players next year?
Everton made it.
That's it.
Everton's not relegated.
Wow. What a monumental achievement. So
he's still
for the second season in a row, have stayed in the league.
Next year, they're getting relegated, by the way, if it stays like this. Point, yeah.
Well, hold on. Let's go through it. It's going to be Luton Town, who's in 20th.
Yeah, 20th. Yeah.
Everton. And then who else is going down? Burnley? Sheffield? Is it a newly promoted side?
I have no idea.
I think it's probably going to be Bournemouth, because I mean, how much can Bournemouth keep this going, right? Like,
I don't
surely
know,
at some
they're
point,
doing,
Bournemouth
they're doing
have
pretty
to,
well.
Like Gary O'Neill deserves a lot of credit because he overachieved with this Bournemouth side, especially the one he took over from. Had lost like 9-0 twice already in the league, so to keep them up is huge because Bournemouth should have been going down. They probably will next year, but Nottingham Forest too. Let's see what they look like with one more season under their belt for a lot of those players who stayed. Pretty remarkable. Like, what a fun
Everton
campaign.
Still to be one of the teams that has never been relegated. Come on the last day of the season,
and finishing in the final.
The players are on
point.
The pitch. The fans are on the pitch. I mean,
genuinely, I think the Everton's a waste of time of a club. To be honest with you,
bro, didn't you win the Champions League with them?
I did.
How are you gonna disrespect your boys like that? How can they do better next year? What do they have to do?
They're gonna build a
hire me
the Corey right now.
Hire me, and I'll do a better job.
You're the guy.
Put me in charge. Yeah.
Oh, James Maddison has the face of a guy who knows he's not sticking around.
Yeah. Dude's like, well, it's been real good.
A lot of teams can pick up Maddison, though. Like, he knows he's leaving.
Vardy looks like he's about to have a massive night at the bar tonight.
Does Vardy retire? That's a full circle moment for James Vardy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He came in. That's such a James Vardy campaign. Jamie Vardy campaign, because dude came in, that's the formal, when he parts his hair, mohawk is Jamie Vardy, when he parts his hair it's James Vardy. That dude, for him to come up, raise hell in the league, and then dip out,
win it,
his team getting relegated, win, is just the epitome of a Jamie Vardy,
because he stopped wrapping his hand.
Oh, you're right, that is exactly why.
Oh, that's the secret. It's like Samson's hair.
You know what it is? It's the fact that they sold Wesley Fofana and they kept Brendan Rodgers for way too
like
long.
You
remember
think
when
you...
remember when Rodgers said,
yeah,
if you sell Fofana, we are going to get relegated. Do not sell him, no matter the price.
What happened,
Nathan? Come on, we're gonna get 80 mil. It's fine. We'll get Wout Fice. We'll be fine. What happened?
It's been great, though.
If your name is Val, don't play football. it is not going to end well.
Just not for
you're a striker. If you're a defender, it does not end well. Just look at
you're not that guy.
I present two pieces of evidence, Your Honor. Val Fais, Val Vegos. If your name is Val, this is not the sport for you.
This is not it.
I might want to avoid athletics in general. Just be an accountant. We need CPAs.
Be an accountant.
How is it? We need some Vouts in CPA. Dude, if I had an accountant named Vout, I don't know if I feel safe having known what I know now. Well, knowing what I know now about how they always go down, I don't know if I will. Right? Like those guys tend to be pretty trash. But I think they need a rebranding. I think the name needs a rebranding. Something safe and conservative to just ultimately.
Let's pitch it to Tom Cruise's next movie.
Yeah, let's do it. Anyway, guys, is that it? Can we wrap it here?
Yeah, I think we can wrap it up now.
We'll wrap it
up. Episode number 196 of the Jersey Wall podcast was a testament, bro. The team of the season, the final day watch along. I think that was a lot of fun. It flew by.
It was fun.
It did fly by.
It was nice. We were just hanging out. I hope that this translated. I hope everybody listening enjoyed this and enjoyed episode number 196 of the Jersey Wall podcast. As always, I've been your host, Mr. Nathan Santos. With me, I had Mina. I had Joe. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks again. See you guys next season. We'll be here for the summer for all the
next. Yeah, exactly. We got lots of stuff to get through next week. We got to do our Champions League preview episode, right? Our Champions League final preview episode, and then we're going to take you right into the summer. Don't forget TJW 200. It's coming, and it's going to be all about the Jersey Wall. I was giving Joe the rough outline yesterday. It's going to be a Jersey Wall episode. Not going to be the footy or the current events. It's going to be the Jersey Wall. That is the episode 200, and I can't wait for all of you to hear. Thank you so much for tuning in each every week, guys. We absolutely love you. We thank you. We do this for you. We'll see you next time right here on the Jersey Wall podcast, baby.